إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد، my dear brothers and sisters, inshallah this week I am going to Qatar and so yesterday we began packing and I was thinking to myself, what is the lesson that we learn from packing? And that's what I want to share with you. First of all, the trip was planned almost 2 weeks ago and everything was finalized and everything else, and then the visas came and all that. So I said to my wife, I think we should pack. So she said, wait for the tickets to come, then we will pack. So I said, what's the hurry? I mean, what's the, there's no doubt, I mean, tickets will come inshallah, the visas have come, everything has come. He said, no, wait for the tickets. So okay, so finally yesterday the tickets came, so we started packing. So first lesson is that before you pack, you have to be sure that you are going. Otherwise, what's the point of packing? Then, now we start packing. So I'm thinking myself, what should I put in the suitcase? An obvious answer is whatever I will need in Qatar. The answer is not what I put in the suitcase, that which I love the most. No, I may love many things, right? I love my books, for example. But I'm not taking any of my books. What you put into the suitcase is not what is even the most valuable of your possessions in terms of here. I mean, you don't put your jewelry into it, or you don't put, you know, watches or whatnot. There's only one driving criteria and decision, which is what will I need in Qatar? So first decision is, am I going at all? Is the ticket ready? Or is there a chance that the trip might be cancelled? So I'm still here. So what's the point of packing? Then, when I know I'm going, then what do I take with me is what is useful for me there. So I don't take, for example, now Qatar is about 44 degrees. So, and we are sitting in 31 degrees. I'm thinking to myself, why am I going? Anyway, so at least there's air conditioning there which works. So obviously, I don't put in woolen suits and, you know, I mean, so what will I need in Qatar? The reason I'm saying this is exactly the decision making as far as our dunya is concerned, right? We live in this world. Question is, are we going anywhere? We recited Surah An-Naba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, عَمَّ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ عَنِ النَّبَإِ الْعَظِيمِ الَّذِي هُمْ فِيهِ مُخْتَلِفُونَ كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, what is all this argument? What is this noise? Are we going? Are we not going? So on and so on. And Allah said, you wait. You will find out. You will find out. So first question to ask ourselves, are we going at all? This akhirah business, is it real? Or is it some story? Seriously, I'm saying, you know, alhamdulillah, we all believe this and we have our iman. So I'm not casting aspersions on anybody's iman. But I'm saying that seriously, my tickets came from Qatar. So what is the proof that I believe that I will go to Qatar? The fact that suitcases are now being packed. Although between you and me, between now and the time I travel, which is on Thursday, Allah knows whether I will even be alive or not. Yet there is a certain level of certainty, knowing fully well that, I mean, I don't have to die for the trip to be cancelled. You can be sick, you can have an accident, you can have, the trip itself might be cancelled. Allah knows best, you know, and may Allah protect us from all kinds of harms and so on. But I'm saying that despite all of these uncertainties, we believe that nothing, none of this will happen, inshallah, that the trip will happen, and inshallah, we ask Allah for khair in the trip. But with regard to the akhirah, with which there is no uncertainty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Kalla sayalamu. Thumma kalla sayalamu. Zalikal yawmul haqq. Yeah, same surah in the end. So where is that certainty? What is the proof that we really believe this? And number two, with regard to the packing, what are we taking with us? There are two kinds of things that we have, just like this dunya. There are things that we take with us and there are things we leave behind. whatever we leave behind, we have to give hisab for to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Good or bad, either way. And what we take with us, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us reward for this. Whatever amal goes with us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward us for this. Whatever we leave behind here is something that we have to give account to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. So what is it that, where is our energy, where are our resources, where is our time, where is the concentration of that? Is it more on the things that we will take with us, or is it more on the things that we leave behind? Just to give you an idea, how much time, effort, energy, resources do we spend on going to work every day? Compared to how much of time, energy, resource do we spend on going to the masjid to pray Salatul Fajr? How much does it take in any case? Just criteria I'm saying. How much time, energy, effort do we spend in going on a holiday? Holiday is not haram, alhamdulillah. If Allah has given you the opportunity, please go. But I'm saying it's not free, no? If you're going for a holiday, it doesn't happen free. So you're spending time on it, you're spending energy on it, you're spending money on it, considerable amount of money on it. You don't go and stay in a hut, you don't go and stay in the railway station waiting room, you go and stay in a nice hotel. You go and see this side, that side. Compare that to the amount of time, energy, money that we spend on doing something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward us for. You go on a holiday, at best that amal is mubah. It is an amal which has neither benefit in it nor harm in it. Alhamdulillah, do it, but nothing, you can't say I went to the holiday and because of that Allah will give me jannah. No. But when you come to the masjid for salah, 27 times the reward. 27 times the reward. Yesterday people came, then question, is it Shab-e-Barat today? Is it Laylatul Nis-Shaban? Is it this? Is it that? So they come for Salatul Isha. So I said, whether that is there or not, you know, somebody may have a doubt, they may not have a doubt. But there is no doubt that Salatul Isha is fard. There's no doubt that Salatul Isha, if it is prayed in the masjid, you're getting 27 times the sawab. So I said, where were you all of these days? Today you are here. Alhamdulillah, very most welcome. We welcome that. But where are you? Where were you yesterday? Where will you be tomorrow? Right? That's a legitimate question, no? So seriously, I remind myself and you, let us think of packing. Let us think about travel. Because this is one trip in which there is no doubt. It's not a question of saying, let us wait for the ticket. That ticket is already there. Ticket is there, ticket has been... Visa. Yeah, everything. Ticket, visa, everything has been issued. Huh? 1 minute. Yeah. Now the issue is, we don't know exactly when, but when it comes, we have to go. And then, you don't want to find out that on that day, which is that, do I have the things that I need? Do I have the things that I need? Just like this travel in this world, with one difference, which is that, okay, if I land in Qatar and I find, oh, you know, I didn't pack my shoes, I forgot to pack my shoes, I can go to a shop and buy shoes. Because there is a possibility to do that. But not in this safar. What you didn't pack, you didn't pack. Khalas. You can't say, oh, I forgot my salah. You know, now let me go back and get my salah. I forgot my rozas, my saum, or I forgot my zakat or something. No. What you did not pack, there is no shop there to buy it from. La bayun fihi, wala khullatun, wala shafa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said very clearly. There is no trade, there is no business, there is no market. There is no asking somebody, please do me a favor. No favors. أَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ يَوْمٌ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ يَوْمٌ O you who believe, spend from what we have given you before that day comes. When there is no trade, there is no sifarish, there is no, intercession, إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ, and there is no asking favors, nothing. And that's what I want to remind myself and you. Let us reflect on this. While we still have time to pack, let us make sure that we pack all that we need and consciously do the sums. Consciously sit down and do the accounts. In the last 1 year, how much money, how much time, how much energy? Put all of this together. Did I spend on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? I'm not saying haram, inshallah, you do not do haram, but even the halal. Not all the halal is encashable on the other side. So how much time, energy, money did I put on this? And how much time, money, energy did I put on things which I know for a fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, al-mustan, will reward me for those things. On my ibadat, on my charity, on my relationship with each other, on helping people and so on and so forth. Actually do the sums. If we are serious about our lives, I think it is time to sit down and do and make a balance sheet and say, does this account balance at all? And if it doesn't balance, alhamdulillah, we still have the time to do what it takes to balance it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, inshaAllah, we ask Allah to give us Ramadan al-Kareem in good health and in good iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Ramadan puts us on a fast track. So everything has multiple rewards. So make up for it. You know, whatever is there, make up for that. But that effort has to come. Because even in Ramadan, we make excuses. Oh, but you see, this happens, that happens. You want to make everyone becomes Shafi'i with regard to Taraweeh. Pray 8 rakat and run. Nothing wrong. I'm not against it. No problem. Please pray 8 rakat. But understand that somebody who is listening to 20 rakat worth of Quran, he is getting more reward than you are getting in 8 rakat. Simple as that. When you talk about etikaf, you say, no. Somebody does etikaf is enough for all of this. It's nice to laugh at, but on the day of judgment when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu, that one time of Ramadan etikaf can spell the difference between success and failure. One amal can do it, one single deed can do it. Forget about the 10 days of etikaf, what is the value of that before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that value we have to understand today. So we take it with us, we pack and we go. Because one Ramadan gone, that opportunity for the last 10 days of etikaf in Ramadan will not come for another 12 months. No matter how much you want it. No, on the first of Shawwal, if you say, oh my God, I should have done etikaf. I won't do it now. Where is now? Now it's gone. And 12 months from now, I don't know whether I will be here, I will not be here. I might be here, but I might not be in a position to make etikaf for any number of reasons. So when the opportunity is there, let us take advantage of the opportunity and ensure that we maximize and capitalize on that opportunity. Because what you packed is packed. Alhamdulillah, inshallah al-mustan, that amal is safe. Unless you do something else to destroy it. But if you don't do that, that amal is safe. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do that which is pleasing to Him and enable us to pack what we need. So that on the day of judgment, we will not be found wanting. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya rahman rahim.